Let's get this party started.
Welcome to the I Squint Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to this, the I Squint Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Lang. In this, the 16th episode, this is actually the last part, part three of my series of podcasts from the stage seminars, Stage Lighting Super Saturday. This podcast is an interview with Mr. Richard Pilbrow, international lighting designer, author, genius. Mr. Pilbrow sat down with me and we got a chance to talk about life, Super Saturday, lighting, and technology. I have to say he is pretty savvy when it comes to technology and blew my mind away. So here it is, my interview with Mr. Richard Pilbrow at Super Saturday 2011.
Mr. Pilbrow, welcome to the I Squint Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me here.
Thank you very much. I'm a great admirer of I Squint. I read it all the time.
Oh, fantastic.
Fabulous.
So, real quick, what do you think is the best part about I Squint? What draws you to the website? I'm just curious. I don't really get to hear this.
Well, you have very diverse, different aspects of lighting, don't you? You cover, and I just enjoy that.
If it spits lumens, I want to cover it. I want to get word of
it. That's a great phrase.
Or, you know, help spit the lumens out.
Right, sure. No, I always find it fun.
Fantastic. You know, I appreciate you saying that. We're here at Super Saturday here in New York City. You just did a session on Light Right Touch, you know, Light Right for the iPad, and Virtual Magic Sheet. Can you tell us a little bit more about it now that, you know, I've got a one-on-one with you?
Sure, I'll try. I mean, this is the first Super Saturday I've been to.
What do you think of it?
I think it seems terrific. I mean, it's fun, isn't it?
It's fantastic. I love it. There's a lot of stuff to learn here.
Yeah, there sure is. I learned a lot. I think it's terrific. And a great bunch of kids, which is always exciting, you know. So I've enjoyed it a lot.
Oh, great.
You know, my session I just got asked me, you know, did I have anything special I want to talk about, and I wasn't quite sure. But two things that interest me, two different things that interest me, is one is I'm an Apple Macintosh freak.
Welcome
and
to the club.
I love my iPad, and I was very thrilled when Eric Cornwell told me he was developing Light Right for the iPad. And I've used it a couple of times now, and it's still in beta test, but it's going to be terrific. Well, it is terrific, really. And I have no patience walking around with sheafs of paper, so I love the fact you can really rapidly go from pipe 1 to pipe 10 or whatever, you know, find channels and sort things by all sorts of different parameters. Only the same as you can do in Light Right, but being able to walk around with it is sort of convenient.
There's an app for that.
Yeah, that's right. So I thought I'd mention that. My main thing is Virtual Magic Sheet, about which I've been passionate for 5 or 6 years, I suppose, which is also Eric Cornwell's software. I'm a huge admirer of Eric's. And I find it's transformed my life as a lighting designer.
Well,
and everyone who I know who's used it, and there aren't many people yet, it's yet to catch on, but everyone who's actually used it find it transforming.
Well, give us a quick rundown. What is Virtual Magic Sheet?
Well, it's a computer application that...
I'm assuming it has to run on the Mac.
Do you know, I don't think I can answer the question. It does run on the Mac. I'm not sure it can't run on a PC. I'm not sure. You'd have to check with
it. Who cares? As long as it runs on Mac, we're good.
It runs on Mac. Anyway, effectively, it's an electronic magic sheet.
Okay.
So you set up all the channels that you're using in a show in the manner that you want them, just as you do with the magic sheet. So all your acting areas are over there, and your backlight's over there, and your front light's here, or you can sort them by color or purpose or whatever.
However you want to set it up.
However you want it.
Just like a magic sheet, yeah.
Yes, but then you connect it by DMX to the lighting control system. Mm-hmm. And before you're in the theater, you've laid it out as you want it. Each tile, there are all these little square tiles for each channel, is okay. A tile. You can give that the color of the instrument and also an identification. You can say what it's doing, down center or something like that. So you have the whole layout on your computer screen. You connect it to the lighting control system, and if you say one to full, number one tile lights up to full in the right color, of course, and mm-hmm. so on. Or if you say group 15 and it's 27 lights, they all light up.
Okay.
So you instantly know what is on. Now, that sounds simple, but it's amazing. On the monitor that comes with the control system, mm-hmm. you have rows and rows of numbers. And to me, rows and rows of numbers mean remarkably little until you've been on the show for 3 weeks and you actually realize you remember what numbers mean. This, because it's your layout in full color, laid out exactly as you have it in your head, mm-hmm. every time it lights up, you know instantly what's happened. So you can look at the stage and things come on, but you look at that and you know instantly what's come on. And so gone are the days, which happened to me a lot, where you look at the stage and you think, what the hell is that? Which happens to me all the time, I think probably to all of us.
Sure.
You look at the stage and you have 100, 400, 500 lights on, you can't instantly recognize what's doing what.
Right,
but if you look at your virtual magic sheet, you instantly know what's on.
Wow, that's amazing.
Now, if there are color scrollers, they change color.
Wow.
If it's moving lights, there's mm-hmm. a little arrow showing which way they're pointing. And if it's got a wheel, it changes color. And if it's got a mixing device, red, mm-hmm. Cyan, magenta,
CMY.
Whatever, yeah. CMY. It changes. It mixes the color and shows you the resultant color. And also shows you what the mix is.
You what the CMY is actually mixing.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So instantly, all the time, you know what's going on.
That's amazing.
And I find it amazing. I couldn't light a show without it. Because I reckon... See, one of my rules of lighting is I do believe we're all duty-bound to work quickly.
Sure.
I hate people who sit around for days, looking at the lighting. Mm-hmm. I think the stage is for actors and audiences, and we technicians should get on and get out of the way, So being able to work fast is, to me, a great, great attribute.
So,
and with virtual magic sheet, I find one is at least 25% faster than usual. At least. Yes.
Amazing.
I've now used it on about 8 shows. And it's just amazing. Because you literally don't have to hesitate wondering what's on your stage.
Wow, that's amazing.
And I think it's a breakthrough. I think it's a real breakthrough.
Well, before Super Saturday, I sat down with Scott Parker, the organizer of mm-hmm. Super Saturday, and we did the number 13th, our 13th podcast here on iSquint. And we briefly talked about you and Virtual Magic Sheet, Light Right, and how you're going to be presenting. And something that struck me, or I remember very clearly, is he's mentioning that you're one of the only seniors that is way too intelligent with computers, that are really computer savvy, with technology and everything out there. And it just made me think that's amazing, some of the things that you're able to accomplish with Virtual Magic Sheet and Light Right Touch. What are some of these other technologies that, being this senior computer savvy person, do you think are going to, I won't say revolutionize, but increase our industry, increase or decrease our time in the theater, but still produce shows?
Right. Well, I'm not really that computer savvy. I'm a Macintosh freak. And have been, incidentally, I bought my first Macintosh in 1984.
It's called Mac Addict.
It's a Mac Addict, that's right. And luckily, of course, you don't have to be a computer person to work a Mac and do all the wonderful things. I mean, Steve Jobs called it the enabling computer.
Right.
And I've been constantly amazed at the things I could do that I could never do before.
Well, yeah, you turn it on and it works.
Yeah,
none of this blue screen of death stuff. So.
That's right. But apart from lighting and the other stuff I do in my life, one of my lighting fascinations has always been with lighting control.
Okay.
And you know, I had the great good fortune to design the light board that was the lighting control system that was put in the National Theatre of Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first lighting control system to have equal access to channels and groups
at the
same time. It was the first lighting control system to have monitors
mm-hmm.
to show channels. And it had all sorts of other things that were quite a breakthrough at the time. I was incredibly lucky because it was custom built for the theatre.
Sure.
And I mean, light palette and everything since basically stems from light board, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But I have been frustrated for years about how little has changed since those days. In fact, light board actually does some things that EOS doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Which frustrates me. But most of all, I've been fascinated by the fact the modern lighting control system is still sort of number-based and still uses the old numerical monitors.
Right, right.
Which to me yield very little information. Now, the computer world has changed out of all recognition, you know, since the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Good to meet you finally. Good to meet you finally.
Take care.
I look forward to the next time with both of you.
Definitely.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
All right, I'm actually going to email you about that beta software. I'm very curious to see.
Okay, sure. Do. Okay, thanks. It's getting noisy here, isn't it?
It's okay.
Where was I?
So speaking... So
yes. The world of computers has changed out of all recognition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the speed of processor, the memory, you know. Yet lighting control systems actually haven't changed very much. They still have buttons and new numbers. And I find that very frustrating. I think a lighting control system should be far more fluid to enable the designer to manipulate his lights with much greater freedom.
Well, Scott mentioned this, and at the end of your session in your book.
Yeah, sure.
From 20 whatever years ago, 30 years ago, actually, isn't it?
Well, no, that comic is in the latest version, which was 97.
Okay, where you're sitting on the hillside and you talk about being able to press something on a touchscreen and that area be lit by whatever lights.
Yeah, sure.
Now, obviously, we're not there yet in lighting control, or I don't know, some computer guy could probably figure that out, but how is that going to happen in our industry? What do you see besides that, for instance, that you mentioned in your book 20 years ago? I know you've probably refined that by now. You've got to have a very clear idea of how that's going to work.
I think it's very difficult to see how it moves forward. I think it needs a sort of quantum leap on the part of the manufacturers to go from the present buttons, knobs, dials, to what I want to see, which is sort of touch-sensitive work surface.
Well,
You
know, I've actually been talking with Miles Dugan from Prism Projection.
Right.
You know, we're control geeks. I like to think I know a little bit about control. We talk nerd talk, you know, geek talk, programming, stuff like that. I don't know if you know about the Kinect camera for the Xbox 360.
Yeah. No.
It's basically 3D motion capture.
Right.
With the Xbox,
right.
You don't need the joystick controller anymore.
Sure.
Your body, your hands.
Yeah, right.
What do you think about that idea for controlling light?
Well, I think it's a possibility. But I think the first step, and I mean, it's already, people make them, you know, touch-sensitive screen.
Well, this is taking the
start.
This is taking the touch.
Oh no, that's going a step further. Absolutely, we and all those things, you know. But I think the first step, I'd like to see, you know, a three-dimensional model of the stage and all the lights, and you can touch any light or any group of lights or any position, and drag that light from there, you know, to there. You should be able to do that.
Okay.
You know, the technology is there. It's just it isn't used in lighting control.
Sure.
I mean, sound systems are being built now that are touch-sensitive screens.
Okay.
And then, you know, you want that one and that one and that one and that one and that one in that color. They are.
Okay.
They're there already. You know, why do we need to talk about it? You know? And I've seen that as the goal.
Now,
the...
No, that's fine.
The problem is the big manufacturers have to build equipment that appeals to a huge international market. They have to appeal to all the operators and the programmers and all the technicians. I mean, the designer is quite a small part of
sure.
the market. And what I'm talking about is a designer-centric system,
well, that,
you know, which is the reason it's taking so long. Now, I think what's very interesting at the moment, and I ran a conference session at the Theatre Architect and Engineering Conference in London last summer about this subject.
Okay.
and I had Eric Cornwall, Rob Bell, and Sarah Clausen from ETC on the panel. And we worked on this for a couple of months. And we sort of, I think, in our own heads, got us a bit of a breakthrough, which came, we talked about at the conference. We've always been asking the major manufacturers to make their equipment more designer-centric, like I've been saying.
Sure.
And the reason they haven't is because they have this huge backlog of inventory, and they've got to satisfy all these operators and programmers and conventional people. I think the moment's arrived where we can have the lighting control system will work the lights, but we may not necessarily have to address the lights directly with the lighting control system. I think Virtual Magic Sheet suggests that people develop software that is everything that I dream it to be,
mm-hmm.
that you plug into the lighting control system and drive the lighting control system.
Okay.
So you split the chart, you split the task into two parts. One part is driving the lights reliably every night, same place.
Sure.
But the other part is addressing it and putting it, if you like, a designer-centric art interface between the designer's brain and the machine.
Well, that
and I think that's now with us. I think it's going to happen.
But that raises an interesting question here in New York, with the unions, obviously, where as a designer, you're not supposed to be touching the board.
Sure.
That's what the programmer's for.
Sure.
So you're saying you... I understand what you're saying, but you want something where you can select a color. You don't care about doing the timing. You don't care about the actual programming. You want a display. You want a device that you can say, I want this, this, and this.
All the lights coming over your left shoulder to go a little bluer, tiny bit brighter, move 2 degrees that way, and that's it.
Done. And then the board up. Or
and
the
then
programmer.
The board would record it. But I don't want to tell somebody to do that. I want to almost think it,
so
but it, do it with my fingers.
So is it in a way that the union is holding this back?
No, it isn't the union at all.
It's more the manufacturers.
I think it's lethargy and commercial interests of the manufacturers.
Got it.
I mean, they all know about it.
Right.
You know, Strand have been talking about it, ETC have been talking about it. EOS at one time was going to be much more in this direction.
Mm-hmm.
You see, Fred Foster was very innovative. Remember he had that digital pad?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was a really innovative step forward, but nobody bought it. Now, the reason nobody bought it is because when you took it, when the customer bought the system, took it home, and he had his digital pad, it was blank. It was empty. There was no theatre in it. So you had to sit and draw the theatre. And that was a huge commercial problem.
Sure.
We're in a different situation now. I, the designer, have worked for months to design my layout, and I can do my... I've drawn the theatre, set designer's drawn the set, I've drawn the light plot, and I have all that in my computer. And what Eric's showing us is that you can link that to the computer and make it live and work. So we came to this view for the conference that let's split the task, let the lighting control manufacturer control the lights, but let the huge world, potential world of software developers create interfaces. And I actually talked to Fred about it, and we had several long sessions about it, and he thought this was quite something. And, you know, with all the new protocols for whatever you call
it, RDM.
RDM and all that stuff, it's getting more and more possible. And he thinks this is quite... He was very enthusiastic about it.
Fantastic.
And I think it's a direction that we could go.
We just need a little bit more time.
Somebody's got to invest some money in it. Except software, for Christ's sake, you know, half these kids probably could do it.
You know,
thousands, tens, hundreds of thousands of young people who are incredibly adept at that. So I think it's... I think Eric's just sort of blazed the way. And
you think the door is just wide open for everybody?
I think it's wide open, yeah.
Fantastic.
And I wanted lighting control that I can work in my head, you know.
Well, why don't
take
we just,
my visions and put some on
the stage.
Why don't
we just create a little thinking cap that you put on? And
that's next. That's after you wave your arms.
No, we don't want to be that deep.
Well, I'm going to start wrapping it up here.
Sure.
But before we go, I wanted to, since you've been in the industry, you have your own book for lighting design and education. Great textbook, I love it. I have, I think, two copies now somewhere, and I still have forgotten to bring them to get them signed because I want the signature. But as a student, as a young designer, you know, people just coming into the industry, starting their careers, what's one piece of advice that you'd give them? Now, I'll,
change your mind.
Well,
no, it's joking. Lighting's a wonderful life. I mean, only about 0.001% of the population make good money at it. But it's a wonderful life. It's a wonderful life. And not get... My advice is, if you want to be a designer, I mean, lots of technicians are wonderfully needed and they earn better money, and so that's a good life too. But keep your eyes open, read plays, study art and philosophy and all those things, because the way to get ahead is you've got to connect with directors and designers of your own age. You know, most of the work you get in your career is people you work with probably 20 years before. I get all my work from directors I've worked with or designers, and that's how the industry works, I think.
Networking,
absolutely. Do every bloody job you can do, and be nice to people all the time. You know.
Well, nobody likes a negative nanny or anything like that.
You've got every job you get. You've got to leave. They've got to like you. They've got to think, I'll work with them again.
Fantastic, yeah. Mr. Pilbroth. Thank you so much for joining me here on the iSquint podcast. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you once again. It's always great to see your huge smile and all your awesome little stories.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Once again, thank you to Mr. Richard Pilbrow for joining me here on the iSquint podcast. It is always a pleasure talking to Mr. Pilbrow. Just a pure genius when it comes to lighting and some of the technology that we use. Another huge super thank you goes out to Mr. Scott Parker and Mr. Sonny Seidenfeld, the organizers of Super Saturday, for allowing me to bring such great content like this to you, the iSquint readers. If you haven't done so already, make sure to check out parts 1 and 2, episodes 14 and 15 of the iSquint podcast, where I sat down with Mr. Sonny Seidenfeld and the keynote from Super Saturday by Mr. Ken Billington. Thanks for joining in on the iSquint podcast.
I'm living the life of dreams. I'm feeling hopefully, feeling quite hopefully with good people all around me. I'm feeling hopefully, and the light shines bright all through the night, and our dreams are making us nice stories.